Hey everybody, it's James Lindsay and you're listening to New Discourses Bullets. New Discourses Bullets is where I give a short bullet point like summary of a single topic out of woke Marxism I think that you need to understand so that we can defeat it. And I want to talk to you today about a new concept that I'm trying to get people to think about. I think it's something we should think about in terms of our potential future if the tyrannical powers that exist, what I'll refer to as the technocratic oligarchy probably in this podcast, were to continue and were to succeed. And I think that their goal is to turn us into something that I think we should call digital cattle, like cows. Digital cattle. I put this on Twitter. I did a thread about it recently, and I just want to elaborate on that more specifically here so that more people can hear it. So I'm going to put the stakes up front, actually, and I don't know for sure that they're going to get this, and I'm not 100% sure that this is their agenda to turn people into digital cattle. I think it is. It's my current best guess based on the things that I've read. It's my current best guess based on the things that I see in China and the direction that the People's Republic of China is taking. And it's my current best guess at how, if I had totalitarian power and were a technological or technocratic oligarch, I would try to arrange the system of control where I get to be the philosopher king and everybody else is my serf or vassal in this new high-tech era. And so the stakes are liberty or death, or actually liberty or being dead digital cattle, which is maybe a fate worse than death until you finally get to die. So I want you to start thinking of yourself as a human being with inalienable rights and liberty to live as a man or a woman, or if you do nothing as we move forward, as just another piece of digital cattle in the herd. Now, this idea of digital cattle requires kind of a few things to get off the ground. I'll start by just telling you what cattle are. Cattle is a word that, because we're people, we're not cows, right? And so cattle is a word that refers to domesticated animals. So it would definitely be the domestication of the majority of our species by a master class who's going to use us as a domesticated, not quite beast, but not much better. So it refers to domesticated animals that are raised specifically because they provide something useful to those who own them, and they can be harvested from those cattle. With actual cows, it's usually things like meat and leather and maybe milk. But as a matter of fact, with people, I think the main thing is going to be data. So the oligarchical technocrats, I think, are trying to establish a system where we are as cattle to them. In other words, we are, you know, like in the Matrix where the human beings are little batteries that power everything. It's like that, except that they're not pulling electricity or energy out of the human bodies. They're pulling data out of the human bodies. And the reason that they're pulling data out of the human bodies is because they need the data to run the whole system. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. The way that this system is going to work, first things first, is it's absolutely predicated on a central bank digital currency. If you don't have a fake digital currency that is, as we've been told from the World Economic Forum, programmable, in other words, that it's a coupon, in other words, they can tell you, let's say that you have $1,000 digital currency dollars. We'll call them 1,000 digital dollars, right? So you have 1,000 of them, but they can program those $1,000. If you have $1,000 in cash and you go to the store and you want to buy $500 worth of meat and $500 worth of liquor, nobody can stop you. However, what they can do a priori is take your 1,000 digital bucks and they can tell you, well, you're only allowed to spend $20 of that on meat. Once you've hit 20 bucks on meat, you can't buy more meat. It's like if you went to the grocery store and instead of having money in your wallet, you had coupons. So the coupon, you can have a coupon for like hamburgers, right? But you can't go buy bread with that coupon. You can only buy hamburgers. So imagine it was a 100% off coupon for a pack of hamburgers. All right, so you go and you pick up a loaf of bread and you go to the front and you hand them your coupon for hamburgers, which, you know, you should be able to, you compared the prices. You think, well, the money works out. I should be able to get two loaves of bread for the price of the hamburgers. And they'll tell you, no, you can only buy hamburgers. That's how programmable currency works. They can program exactly how much can be spent on A, on B, on C, on D. And when you hit the limit, you hit the limit. So if they decide that you can only spend a few of your dollars on what they consider to be luxury items, that's it. You can also turn off a digital currency completely. They can freeze your account extremely easily. They have a much harder time freezing your cash, for example. And we've trusted them to allow for credit systems that are in effect a kind of one step away from a full digital currency. And so far it's worked out, but now they're trying to seize control. So this all depends on a cashless society, but in particular, the implementation of a universal central bank digital currency. That is the way that you do your buying and selling, because you're no longer operating with money with a CBDC. You are now operating with effectively with what they call a programmable currency. In other words, a digital pool of coupons that they can change what those coupons are good for and not good for at any given time. So it depends effectively on transitioning to a new monetary instrument in the form of a CBDC. But then there are kind of four integral pieces that they have to include to make the digital cattle system work. The first is actually not just the CBDC, but a universal basic income paid into it. So you get 1,000, we'll call them credits from now on or whatever. You get 1,000 credits or whatever per month. Everybody does. It's basic income. Everybody gets that. It's sold to us as that it'll cover all of our basic expenses, and then we can earn our discretionary income. So secondly, it requires a social credit system that's tied to the financial instruments. So your social credit system might delimit how you can act in society, where you can go, what you can get into, and so on. But that's just kind of a secondary point for what it's for. It also actually determines how those coupons are spread out in your CBDC, and maybe what percentage, including, you know, a discounted percent like 80% or an increased percent like 120% of your universal basic income that you're qualified to receive in any given month. So in other words, your behavior on the terms set by the tyrants, by the technocratic oligarchs, is going to determine how much access to your own money you have and your ability to use it and your ability to participate in society through a social credit system. Ideally, to make this really work and get us as digital cattle, it also needs a bonus credits system that goes on top of the basic income of credits. So if you have really good social credit, or if you do certain tasks that you're tasked to do by the regime, then you can get bonus credits. And in particular, you can get special credits for special kinds of behavior. I think that's going to be very important. I want you to bookmark in your head what I'm talking about is carbon credits. You don't use carbon. You're allowed to use 20,000 pounds of carbon per year or whatever. And so you decide that you're going to drive less and you're not going to buy meat as much or whatever policies they say. You only use 10,000. In a carbon credit system, you have 10,000 carbon credits that you're allowed to use per year. You have 10,000 left over and you could sell them. So the bonus credits kind of work like that. You'd also need an education system that locks kids into this. And that's what the social emotional learning is for. I've talked about that extensively in other places. I'm not going to go into it again. I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast I did where I talked about Ben Williamson's, is one of the social emotional learning podcasts. And if you search the name Ben Williamson, you'll find it. Ben Williamson did a paper called Psychodata that goes into a lot of detail about how that would actually work. And that paper was actually instrumental in making me think that this is what's going on. Although the term digital cattle actually came from a friend of mine. I'm not going to claim full creativity on that. So let's get this dystopian picture straight. The technocratic oligarchy could just give you your UBI and go along, but that doesn't make any sense. They can't just give people a UBI. The people who are being paid a universal basic income, it sounds like it's universal free money. There's no such thing as free money. There's no such thing as free money. If you're getting paid in terms of these credits, you have to be providing something of value in exchange. Now, if it's a universal basic income, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything that you can think of to get it. How on earth are you going to get it? You get it through your good behavior. Well, how do you know if you have your good behavior? How do people know that you're doing what you're supposed to? You are providing them with data. You have to provide them with data that you're actually living up to your obligations. This is like when they decide that they're going to tell you they're going to give you money for schools, and there's an accountability measure on the other end of it. If you want to keep getting money for schools, you have to check off all these boxes. Same thing. So in order to make sure that people can't grift off the UBI system, and the whole justification is going to be that it's actually that they're paying you a universal basic income in exchange for the data you're providing them. So to some limited degree, that might include services that machines can't imply. Like the technocratic oligarchs probably still want human servants that they can humiliate and subjugate just because of the thrill of it. But mostly what they want is your data. Running a technocratic oligarchy, which is also to say a Platonic republic ruled over by philosopher kings who have appointed themselves as the top crust of society, we call them stakeholders, actually would require a tremendous amount of data. If you look at the attempts to run the socialist systems, or the communist systems in like Soviet Union and Mao's China, they weren't very successful. And the reason they weren't very successful, it turns out, let me back up a step. What we have to first understand is that those are actually an attempt to force a Platonic republic onto the society in the hopes that what you'll have is eventually a kind of metaphysical rupture and transcendence from that society into total liberation. That's really the Marxist fantasy, by the way. The Marxist fantasy, by the way, is that the Soviet program is that you're going to build out a technocratic republic with the socialists in power, the socialists on top, in the hope that there will be a kind of metaphysical rupture at the end. In other words, when Marx said the state will wither away, and Lenin said that that will happen at the maximum or the zenith of its power, the idea is that you build the perfect Platonic republic so that it becomes unnecessary after the transcendence of private property and the end of fallen man, the return back to the garden. That's the way the theology of Marxism, or the religion of Marxism, actually works. Now, the catastrophic attempts of the 20th century to build such a thing in the name of communism really, really failed. And one of the reasons they failed was because they were unable to solve the problems of distribution and the problems of production. In other words, by centrally planning the entire economy, they didn't have enough data to know what people actually needed or how to get it to people. And so massive amounts of data were needed for distribution, but massive amounts of data were also needed to control people. Things started to fall apart as people started to whisper and figured out ways to communicate and code and get around the system and eventually start to mock the system or expose the system. You need a lot more data to control people. In fact, what you need is enough data to get people to control themselves. And the data involved is going to come from the human beings involved. The oligarchs, who are technocrats, they are experts. They want to rule through their massive amount of expertise with their big brains and their high technology. They need enough information to know exactly what their cattle need to keep functioning. But also they need tons of information to know how to contour and control the environment and the cattle themselves into being ideal subjects and consumers, the exact thing that their system needs to sustain itself. And this is why I encourage you to go back and listen to the Ben Williamson podcast. Again, go to newdiscourses.com, click on the search bar, type in Ben Williamson. It's the only one that comes up, I think, or maybe there's a couple. You want to listen to those to understand what I'm talking about. They need tons of information in order to build a system where they brainwash you into compliance. And that's why they need a social credit system. A social credit system is, in fact, a brainwashing tool. A lot of people don't understand that. They think it's a compliance tool. Well, it is. But it's also training you. It's actually literally operant conditioning that if you behave this way, not that way, then you are going to get to participate in society. And if you behave the wrong ways, you're locked out of society till you behave better. It's a gulag. It's a digital gulag system. Where, remember, a gulag is a re-education center. It's not a concentration camp. It just happened to take those forms in the 20th century. It's a re-education. It's a thought reform, an ideological remolding program. So the universal basic income of the technocratic elite, or technocratic oligarchs, if you will, is going to think of the UBI as like the bags of feed that they give the cows, right? It's just feedstock. It is given off to the cattle, that's you, to keep you participating in the system, probably slightly in debt on the company town model. You can't quite pay all your bills, but here's how they'll slide you some kind of, you know, fuzzy gray credits that allow you to meet your demands just barely while you're falling behind and you owe more and more each time. But if you really, really, really behave well or sell off some of your indulgences in the forms of carbon or sustainability credits, then you can maybe, you know, break even some months. And that's the idea, is but they're giving you a UBI that's just barely enough or just barely not enough to keep you participating in the system. And participating in the system means, because you didn't wash out, you're now providing the necessary data that tells the system what it needs to know more about how to contour you as a political subject and as a consumer. That means they can optimize their algorithms around you for control, including marketing. And so the ideal way to manage a herd, or to herd, in fact, at all, the digital cattle, that means you, is to brainwash them. It's not just to give them all of these rules that they have to follow. It's actually to brainwash them to follow the rules on their own. In other words, to make them into a new man, like the new Soviet man or new socialist man that Marx and Lenin talked about. You want to brainwash them into further accepting the system through operant conditioning. In other words, you give them rewards when they do what you want. There's your carrot, and you give them punishments when they don't. There's your stick. That is the point of the social credit system. Social credit doesn't just keep people in line. It conditions them to be good on the terms of the social credit system. Life is a lot easier and better when you behave, and it's a lot worse and it may be impossible when you don't. So when you look at the social credit system in a place like China and you think, wow, that's a perfect instrument for population control, which is to say digital cattle herding, that's kind of true, but it's actually much more than that. It's a digital gulag. It's digital re-education happening in real time all the time. The social credit system basically makes the entire operation of your society into a kind of video game, where what you're trying to do is earn points or merits and to avoid demerits or losing points or losing your character or whatever by playing in this arbitrary rule set by the people controlling it, the stakeholders in this case. It is a herding method, but it's also a conditioning method without peer in the world. There is nothing more effective than a social credit system to get people to behave the way you want to and to get them to do it automatically. You've probably seen those pictures on the internet of an elephant that's been trained that when it has the cuff around its leg, that's usually, I guess, tied to a big steel pole or something, that it can't move. So then they'll put the cuff around its leg and they'll hook the other end of the cuff to like a little folding chair, and the elephant won't move or the horse won't move because it doesn't know that the thing that it's actually chained to is too small to contain it. That's what happens with conditioning. So inside of a social credit system, you're not just being controlled, you're also training yourself to behave in ways that give you good social credit and to avoid losing it. So you will enforce this on your neighbors because they'll make social credit contagious. If you're around people with bad social credit, you get bad social credit. You don't want that. So you want your neighbors to have good social credit. So you'll avoid them and you'll badger them and you'll carry on. And they can set up the system to give you points for going and evangelizing to your neighbor or going and harassing your neighbor or turning your neighbor in. I mean, this sounds far-fetched, but the state of Washington right now is even experimenting in law with offering people up to $2,000 to snitch for hate crime and bias incidents. So it's certainly something that A, has been done before, and B, could be done again. This is a tool for producing a herding effect to herd you as digital cattle to keep you in the pens where you're supposed to be acting how you're supposed to act. And in the meantime, the system is analyzing everything you do, how you react to these things, who you associate with, how you engage in the video game. It's gathering data off of you all the time. It's culling a huge amount of very valuable data that justifies them paying you a UBI to get it out of you as their digital cattle. So the beef or the milk that comes out of real cattle, what the equivalent here is the data that they're extracting out of you. And why? Why do they need that data? Well, they need to know a little bit about distribution of goods and services, but primarily what they need is they need that data to continue to tweak the control system itself, the social credit system. And they have to tweak that in two ways, micro and macro. The micro way that they're changing it, the microscopic way, is that they're actually changing how they brainwash you. The algorithms are getting to know your personality through your interactions so that it can condition you personally more effectively. The macro version of this is actually conditioning the parameters of the entire controlled technocratic society, and thus the big scale parameters of the social credit system in the first place. So that is, the social credit system is designed to gather data from its participants such that the parameters of the whole system are being tweaked. That's the macro level, but also so that it can learn your individual psychological and social behavior, your personality inventory, various facts about how you can get triggered or how you can be calmed down, so that it can interface with you more specifically. And that's the microscopic level. And again, I encourage you to listen to the Ben Williamson SEL podcast so you can hear what psychodata is really about and what their ideas and plans for it are. Another analogy I've given, usually when I'm talking about social emotional learning for what I'm talking about here, is, you know, the game where you're supposed to fit differently shaped pegs into differently shaped holes. Well, the board with the holes drilled in it or cut into it, that's society. And they need to shape society. In other words, they need to carve the holes right so the pegs can fit in. But at the same time, they are going to carve the peg so that they fit the holes, because they want to change their plan as little as possible. So they're carving the shape of society. That's the macro interventions, and using the micro interventions to carve you at the same time. So it's like, you know, square peg, square hole, round peg, round hole, and you're a round peg, she's a square peg, and so on. Rather than plugging everybody into society, it's like they're using the system to change the shape of the holes and to change the shape of the pegs at the same time. And that takes mountains of data and lots of data processing, which, like, the big data processing centers they're building in states like Utah. So the organization of this system, as we can guess, and we don't have to guess, it's their favorite word in the world, is going to be based off of a program called sustainability. And so that's where you can guarantee that the bonuses for good behavior will be given. And it's going to work in terms of what I would call sustainability credits, that are an exact extension of the idea of carbon credits. And those could be converted for more basic income or more income, more fake credits, coupons, in exchange for exemplary behavior. So if you are a really, really well-behaved person, maybe you can buy a little more meat this month, or you have a little extra money and that you can buy a little alcohol with, or something, that whatever it is that you like. What would exemplary behavior look like as a digital cattle? Well, it would look like doing what you should in the system, not doing what you shouldn't. So you might be policing your family, your friends, your neighbors. You're going to participate in the propaganda videos. You're going to follow all the rules. You're not going to break any rules. And those rules are going to be based off of sustainability. And you will be considered a highly sustainable citizen, which should send chills down your spine if you're behaving accordingly, but not otherwise. Imagine being considered an unsustainable person, just like we have non-essential workers during COVID, right? Sustainability credits, like I said, are going to work like carbon credits today, but they're going to be much more extensive and they're going to be much more pervasive. But if I had to guess, what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to use them yourself. Say you want to be able to take your three flights per year. Notice that to go somewhere and come back, you need to take two. So that third one, I'm not sure what you're going to do with it. Well, you could sell the right to take that third flight to somebody else. And I'll bet you that the deal is that if you sell them to certain people, or if you sell them at all, I bet you can turn them into a premium. In other words, if they're worth $200, I bet you can sell them for $300 or $500, right? And who's going to be buying them? Well, the technocratic elite. That way they can lie and say they're under the same system as you, but they're crushing you, and you can sell off your little tiny bits of opportunity to participate in the world. So they give you three flights per year, maybe. So you don't take any flights. So now you have three credits, and you sell them off to Bill Gates, who now gets to take three flights off of you. And you get just barely enough money to be able to buy, you know, a slice of cheese and some bacon on your hamburger. You get to have a fancy hamburger. He gets to take your flights for you. Win-win, right? That's how this is going to work. So when you sell those things, the technocratic oligarchical elites are going to be the ones that are primarily buying them with their very large amounts of money that doesn't really mean anything because it's all programmable coupons. That allows them to circumvent the overwhelmingly oppressive rules of society that they've set up while claiming everyone is actually subjected to them, because what you're actually selling isn't a credit. You're selling a sustainability indulgence. Think of it as a gigantic corrupt religion that's selling indulgences to sin against sustainability. And you have your part. You have these little tiny abilities to go outside of the rules, just barely, or what, or just barely inside of the rules, but you can sell off the right to violate the rules as much as people want. And people like Bill Gates or like Klaus Schwab or people like John Kerry can buy them by the thousands, and they can do whatever they want. And you get to have just a little bit more than you're not quite enough to make it. So you won't fly, you don't travel, you eat bugs, you survive on lentils and maybe rice. I think rice was found out to be a climate problem. You probably have to live off of processed food sold by Kellogg and like shots from Pfizer or something. You turn in your neighbors, you watch your propaganda, you take all of the data harvesting quizzes and play all the data harvesting games that they send to you through push notifications on your phone. You stay home as much as possible. You use your goggles instead of going on trips. And then you'll get some of these special bonus credits as on top of your basic allotment. And you can sell those for perks, probably in a way where you get to have a little bit of more comfort and fun in your life. Maybe your digital avatar can have a sweet new outfit that literally doesn't mean anything while Bill Gates is taking your flight that you're not allowed to take. So what do you really get paid for not doing anything particularly interesting, for participating in the propaganda, for helping to keep others in line, so becoming a panopticon police force, and by doing activities on your devices that provide them with more data? And that data is going to be used for your control as a digital cow. All of that's what's valuable to the technocratic oligarchy, so that's what you're going to have be rewarded, and everything else will be punished because you are their digital cattle. You are providing them the data they need for their perfect control system and the perfect marketing system so that you're buying just enough stuff of just the wrong kinds of things to keep them filthy rich and you just a little bit behind so that those credits that you're earning through your good behavior mean an awful lot to you because they don't really want you rewarded. So remember that. So they're going to stack those incentives so that you stand to benefit in really fake ways, like, you know, digital clothes for your digital avatar, like video game crap, by selling off any ability to enjoy your real life that you might have and staying as locked in and basic and actually malicious, turning in your neighbors and so on as you possibly could be. It's like the Karenocracy or something. And like I said, I don't know if this is for certain the shape of things to come, but it's my best guess right now, based off of looking at what I've read, looking at China, looking at how, you know, I might arrange such a system if I had that power. And I was thinking about what they say. The World Economic Forum has said things very much in line with this. And the program is called stakeholder capitalism, basically, because the would-be controllers, the technocratic oligarchs, are the stakeholders. And they are the ones who understand the world better than all of us. They are our philosopher kings, and they are the ones who are going to govern us through this awful tyranny. If you want a limited picture of what it looks like, not even in its fully matured form, look at the system of control and social credit in China. I'm going to do another episode of the New Discourses podcast talking about the social credit system in China soon to make that more visible for you too. But that will be your future unless you see yourself as a human being with inalienable rights and liberties that has the courage to stand up for them, because this is where they want us to go.